You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
International Desk
are go.
In February, Australian politician Pauline Hanson made headlines for an interview with Sky News where she suggested there are no good Muslims. And an independent report from last year found anti-Muslim incidents in Australia had skyrocketed since the start of Israel's war on Gaza. This has been amplified by the charged political environment in the wake of the Bondi terrorist attack and the government's subsequent plan to combat anti-Semitism, which conflated anti-Semitism with criticism of the State of Israel. For International Desk, I spoke to research fellow at Deakin University, Dr. Ali Mamouri, about this rising Islamophobia in Australian politics and its consequences. I started by asking about Pauline Hanson and if he could explain who she is and her recent comment about no good Muslims.
Pauline Hanson is the head of the One Nation Party, which is one of the right parties in Australia. It has a minimum political influence, but in the larger context in Australia, especially her everyone's statement or action caused a lot of controversies and concern among Australian society. In particular, in the last few weeks, she said that there is no good Muslims, which was very controversial and insulting to about a million Muslim people in Australia and 2 billion Muslims in the world. It was so strange and surprising to hear such a thing, that among that large community, there is not any even one good person. It was absolutely a racist and a discriminative statement.
And I want to ask, can you speak to how this reflects wider trends of Islamophobia in Australia?
Absolutely. Pauline Hanson and One Nation have contributed significantly to normalizing Islamophobic rhetoric in public debate. A statement such as claiming that there are no good Muslims effectively dehumanize an entire community, or nearly 1 million Australians and around 2 billion people globally, as I said. And this type of rhetoric undermines social cohesion, because it places Muslims in a position where they constantly feel they must prove their loyalty or humanity in order to be accepted as equal citizens, create the perception of Muslims as second-class citizens, and foster suspicion toward an entire community. At the same time, I strongly support maximum freedom of speech. In fact, for this reason, I have also criticized recent hate speech legislation in Australia. Liberal democracies should prioritize open debate rather than restricting speech through broad legal tools. But the point here is that what raised concern is that apparently there is a double standard in how a speech is treated. For example, we have recently seen young protesters arrested in Australia just yesterday for political slogans related to Israel and Palestine, where phrases like from a river to the sea or intifada, sometimes interpreted it as anti-Semitic and criminalized. Yet a statement like portraying all Muslims negatively often received with less problem or with almost no consequences. This issue, therefore, is not simply the about the speech itself. It's about the consistently, fairly dealing and treating with different communities.
The specific piece of legislation that you mentioned, the plan to combat anti-Semitism, could you speak to how this could impact responses to Islamophobia?
Of course, the entire legislation took the public attention to some kind of distraction. An issue happened in Australia. It was so horrific. It was very dangerous. It was so sad to see the terrorist attack here in Bondi Beach a few months ago. But the question is not about free speech or the even hate speech. The cause of a problem wasn't that. The cause of a problem was a few questions regarding the security organizations here in Australia. The question is that why the intelligence service was not able to track them before take such a terrorist horrible action. Why police was late like half an hour to come and address? Why they did not take proaction to provide protection to Jewish community? All these things should be addressed and should be improved. There is a significant and serious problem in how government is providing safety and security to all communities in Australia. This is the main issue. But it seems to me that government, instead of addressing the source of a problem, it went completely toward limiting freedom of speech, limiting social media activities, and going toward some kind of policing the public debate, which is so dangerous a trend for our future and for our liberal democracy.
Do you think any of this has been changed or altered in any way by the ongoing US-Israel war with Iran?
Of course, that's an extra a problem that is happening here in Australia. When we see that in such conflict, the Australian government does not stand with international law and just follow their partnership with the US and give priority to that over any kind of legal institution globally. And it's a very dangerous trend, because if Australia does not stand with international law, this war, according to all experts, was a breach of international law, and Australia should not support it. When Australia supports such a violation of international law, it will put the country at risk. If another country wants to do the same with Australia, how could Australia rely on the international law? And second, will create a lot of polarization inside the society, showing that the government is not fair, the government is not based on institutional setting. It just take decision based on political partnership with foreigner partners. In addition to all of these, we have been witnessing a lot of public protests here in Australia after the events in Iran, some of them with very strong Islamophobic rhetoric and slogan, something like all clerics should be buried. And with no any consequences, with no any arrangement to limit that or to stop that or at least to discuss that. So it seems in general that there is a context politically and socially that put Muslim communities behind the accusation bar. It seems that they need to constantly just clarify their position and just to make sure we are not supporting any terrorism or any authoritarian regime, which we are not. But it doesn't seem acceptable that they should come every single time and just clarify their position.
This discussion has been focused on what is happening in Australia, but are we seeing any similarities or even parallels in other places?
Of course, it's a part of the global context. A global context that wants to portray Muslims as backward people, nations, as people with all just authoritarian regime, dismissing their variety, dismissing the large societies and countries from Southern Asia to Northern Africa. We have different kind of governance system, like any other religious groups. It's not acceptable to say, for example, in Rwanda, we had 90% Christian, but the genocide that happened in Rwanda has nothing to do with Christianity. Same thing if there is a terrorist attack somewhere among 2 billion Muslims. A few people do something or do something, that does not give us any kind of legitimate reason to accuse the entire society. But it seems that there is a lot of public, general, global propaganda run by some political motivations, which is clear in the current global context, to portray them as demon, as non-human, as second human, as backward, as people that causing a problem, ruining the global order, dismissing any other factor among this large community and also among other communities that they are contributing in the same way or sometimes worse.
That was Deakin University Research Fellow Dr. Ali Mamouri on rising Islamophobia in Australian politics.
International Desk on 95BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.